From scratch.
This is Nigel Payne alongside
Martin Cousins.
And it's another From Scratch. And today we're going to bounce a bit. Martin's running a business book club, which is excellent, on LearnPatch. And the book he wanted to talk about first of all was Bounce by Syed. So, Martin, why did you pick Bounce? Tell me about it.
Well, actually, I just happened to be at a conference of head teachers about a year ago. And Matthew Syed was there talking about his book and his thinking around mindsets and what talent is and what that means for teachers and head teachers. And they were primary school head teachers. And I thought, yeah, he was really good. And I got to speak to him afterwards. And I bought the book and I thought it spoke a lot about this kind of myth of talent. And I thought it'd be interesting to look at because it's slightly bigger picture stuff, I think, for L&D in particular, and maybe HR. But we do label talent management as a critical factor in business success. And I think this book does a great job at unpicking the idea of what talent is.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you that the issue is, what do we mean by talent? And the notion of talent being about a subset of the workforce who were in some way better than everyone else was widely discredited after Enron, because that was their whole philosophy, was we've got 5% of geniuses, another 5% of brilliant people, and the other 90% are also RANs who make the others do the work for the others and make them look good and support them. Contemporary notion of talent is getting the best out of everyone and exploiting everyone's talents. And why do you think Syed, what is he doing to demolish that idea then? Tell me what Syed is doing that will, what would encourage people in L&D to read that book, at least part one, which is the talent myth?
I think it's a lovely mix of personal experience and anecdote and research. So this isn't a book written by someone who hasn't experienced what it is to be very, very good at something. So he does talk about this idea of 10,000 hours of meaningful practice, and he explores that. But what's interesting about it is he talks about how and why he became the best table tennis player this country has had in years, and how he became successful on a sort of European and global scale. And that story is not a story of someone who's just got some gift and some special talent for table tennis. It's the story of someone who received a table tennis table in his garage as a kid, who had a 24-hour a day, 7-day a week access to a table tennis club around the corner, and one of the best coaches in the country. And he just played it before school, at school, after school. And he played it, and he played it, and he got coached, and he got better, and he got better. And he did this for hours and hours, every day, every week, every year, for years. But what you see is him just being an amazing table tennis player. So I think that, for me, it's worth watching. It's worth reading, because I think we have a sense of, we just look at, I think, kind of celebrity status type stuff and how we can just watch people being great at what they do hasn't helped here. But this idea that you can just look at someone and think, oh, they just must be naturally gifted at that. What you don't see, because you'll never see it, because it'd be so boring, it'd be like watching paint dry, is the years of effort, pain, and sweat and blood that goes into practice. That is that, and that's kind of what comes out in the first part of the book. It's, you know, I think he demystifies this idea of people just having natural gifts to do certain things. Now, that's not to say that we may, you know, people don't have natural abilities to do certain things. Of course we do. What he's saying is, if you're going to get really good at something, then you actually have to apply yourself, and apply yourself hugely in a way that, you know, people just don't see. People seem to think that you just are great at football, or you're just great at this.
Yes.
So that'd be my, that's the first yes. part of the book. I think he really unpicks that really well. And it's worth reading just for that.
There's the story of Gareth Bale, the footballer. There was a picture of him when he was 14 with his local team in Wales. And some journalist researched the rest of the team. So he went and found all the other kids, the other 10 kids in the team. And he interviewed them about Gareth Bale and about what they were doing. And they were working in a supermarket, unemployed, insurance salesman, working in a garage, you know, not doing fabulously well. And one or two of them said, "We were better than Gareth, or we were at least as good as Gareth when we were 14. The difference was that at the end of school, we went home. Gareth stayed back and he just spent hours just kicking balls in a goal. He'd spend hours aiming for a spot on the wall. He always wanted to practice. He was never happy with his performance. The better he did, the more obsessed he was about getting better." So again, you know, everyone talks about Gareth Bale, naturally gifted. Well, yeah, he had talent, but he also had application. And in life, you meet many people who you would describe as gifted. I've met people who can sit down and play the piano beautifully, and you say, "Wow, what happened?" And they said, "Oh, yeah, well, I was doing 4 hours piano a day, and I just got bored with it. I never did it." You know, and you see that it's the people who have the gift plus. But isn't there also a really important analogy for organizations? We look at Amazon and go, "Wow, you know, it's amazing the way their customer service, their attention to detail, the way they can deliver. Whoa, you can just take the superficial elements of Amazon and apply them to blogs and you'll get exactly the same." No, you won't, because what you don't see is the attention and the detail and the thousands of hours of getting it wrong and practice and commitment and drive that led to the finished product. And it's like Google. When I was in Brazil, I met a number of companies who fell in love with Google when it came into Brazil. So they brought in billiard tables and comfy chairs, and they flashed up the office, and they brought in free food, and they did all the kind of Google trappings. And it was a total disaster. They just ramped up their costs. The staff couldn't be found anywhere. They weren't doing any work. And they said, "Oh, well, you know, it's obviously Google is not for Brazil. It doesn't fit in with Brazilian culture." No, it's nothing to do with that. It was that Google, underneath that surface, there's a huge amount of work going on to make them as good as they are. And it's got nothing really whatsoever to do with billiard tables and baby football and all that stuff. And that's the problem. You know, our culture makes us look at the surface and say, "Oh, that's easy. We could just easy. We copy that." No, it doesn't work. So I think you're right. It is very, very useful. And I think it's very heartening for L&D, because it's basically saying it's all about development. It's not about inherently bright people.
I think
it really isn't.
Yeah, one last thing I would say is that I was thinking about the book in terms of, well, what is the message if you work in L&D or HR, and you've really summarised that well just then. But I was thinking in particular around things like leadership and management, that, you know, absolutely the bane of every organisation's life. Yeah. Really, it's so tough to make management and leadership work really effectively, because if it does, like Google, Facebook, places like that, you have hugely successful organizations. But I was thinking about that in terms of this idea of talent. In actual fact, those organizations really support managers, don't they?
Yeah.
And actually, yeah, they allow them, give them time to be managers and leaders. And that's the difference. So that means you get a chance to, you know, actually practice. Actually do it, learn, do it, you know, have time to be a manager, to be a leader, rather than just to have to do it as well as everything else you have to do during the day. And but you're so right, you don't see that. You see them talk about that at conferences, but people probably just dismiss that as being, "Oh, well, that they're just really successful, that's what they would do." In actual fact, that's what you have to do. Yes. And I think that's what that book tells us. Actually, if you want managers to be really good, then you have got to help them to practice to be good.
Yeah, that's a great note to end. I think we'll end it there. Martin, great. I hope lots of people, A, go and read Bounce, but B, join your business book club.
Thank you. From scratch.